Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk, so weird, I tell you.
What was it sound?
It's something it does since I tried to jam the mic jack into the USB hookup. It makes that really cool sound now on this computer, on this particular computer. Now, the reason I'm on this computer again is I had the new one all set up to use and everything and realized, oh, I want to add that song. Well, you know what? I don't have my converter loaded into the new computer yet. So if I want that song, it's not in the new computer. It is in the library of my old computer. So I had to really, really quick switch back so I could grab that song. And because the new computer doesn't have the converter, I couldn't just go to YouTube and grab it because I needed to convert it. And it's a long story. Oh, Lord preserve me. Yeah, it's I got to get some songs in the new computer, but I'm not going to take the time to put all of them in there because I have hundreds of songs in this computer, and I am not transferring them all into the new computer. So I need to make sure I have everything all set and ready or set both computers up, which I didn't think of before, but when I needed this one today, it was like, why didn't I set both computers up? Then I wouldn't have to worry about it.
True. Oh, well, we live and learn.
I was thinking those exact words, and it's just you got a learning curve that you grab onto as you go. And when you've got information in multiple computers, it's a mess. And that's all I got to say about that.
Okay.
Well, but I'll get there. Once I get a handle on it, we're going to be cool.
Does it not seem like a long week for you?
It has seemed very short this week.
Oh, really?
I mean, tomorrow's Friday. Well, see, I broke a tooth on Tuesday.
Uh-oh.
So I've been dealing with the insurance company trying to figure things out, and my policy is changing on January 1st. So do we wait until January 1st? Do I try and get it done now when it's really hard to get an appointment right now because it's so close to Christmas? And then with COVID, you know, it's tough to get an appointment. And they want to, well, come down, let us examine it, and then we'll make you an appointment. And no. I live 36 minutes away. We don't run back and forth two or three times a week.
Right.
Let's do what we got to do on the phone. When I get there, you do it. That's just how it is. If you can't, I'll get a different dentist that can. So.
Right. No, I know. I hate that. Don't you just like that, though, having to go back and forth and then they finally make a decision? It's so unnecessary.
Oh, I won't do it. I won't do it. My doctor in Arizona used to do that to me. His nurses would have me come in, and they'd say, well, come in early. You got to sign the paperwork and all that stuff. And then they'd say, well, here's the order. Take that over and get your blood drawn today, and then we'll make you an appointment to come back and review your test scores. And I said, No, that is not going to fly. Sorry. I'm here. Make an appointment now. I will have my blood test. I will have my blood test done today. We'll make an appointment. I am not coming back twice. And I do this. I got smart and did this on the phone before I even went to the office. It's like I'll come in. You call the order into the hospital, have the blood draw. I'll go have the blood draw. Once you get the blood tests, then we'll make the appointment and I'll come in. I'm not coming in twice. That's not happening.
What do you have to have a blood test for?
Diabetes.
For two. Okay.
Diabetes. I'm just saying that the dentist is going to get the same treatment. It's going to be, let's discuss this on a phone, because when I drive 36 miles to come down there, you're going to fix it right now. I'm not coming back next week or day after tomorrow or whatever.
Right.
No, we're going to do it now. So... we'll see what happens. Sometimes I can't bully my way through, but a lot of times I can. But we'll see. Well, you know, I'm using the senior citizen card. Why not?
Oh, really?
I've earned it. Yeah, you call and you say, you know what? I'm a senior citizen. I live on Social Security, it's limited income. I do not have enough gas money to be running back and forth to please you guys. You need to work with me on this. If we can do this, this, and this, then we can work together and get this done. If we can't, I'll find somebody who can. They don't want to lose a patient. They don't want to lose that money. Every time they'll work with me on it, and we'll work something out that works for both of us. And that's okay. That works good. So we'll see. But, see, I don't have a dentist here yet, so I'm going to go into Aspen Dental and say, okay, guys, fix it.
Here I am fixing. Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
and I'm going to try and just get a one-tooth thing that's a spider. That's the one tooth and hooks on each tooth on each side of it. I think that'll be the most time efficient and the cheapest. So we'll see how that rolls. And that was my week. No, my week has been very short. It's like, tomorrow's Friday already? Yeah, but I got to do this and this. Oh, well. I guess
tomorrow.
World's not going to come to an end if I don't get it all done.
No, it'll be there waiting on you. Nope.
It's like doing the dishes or taking out the garbage. It doesn't matter. If you don't get to it, it'll sit there and wait for you.
No one's going to come in and do it for you, believe me.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is not going to walk itself out or wash themselves. It's just, it never happens. So I quit expecting
no.
You know, when you feel rather princessy, you expect the dishes to do themselves and you expect the garbage to take itself out and the floor to sweep itself. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You can't wiggle your nose and just see the broom start flying and the dish rag start going. It doesn't work. I tried it.
No, it does. I lost my mind a long time ago. So,
yeah, I tried it quite some years ago, and it didn't work. I haven't tried it since, so I don't even worry about it. If I don't do it, the world doesn't come to an end, so okay.
Damn, sure
and I
doesn't.
Don't have company very often, so I don't even have to worry about that. It's to please myself.
Well,
so I'm good with that.
You know, I mean, my office kind of stays messy sometimes because I'm in there working and going through stuff, but the rest of my house stays pretty clean. But, you know, you always want to make sure that your kitchen and your living room is clean just in case someone comes in. But I tell you what, most of mine, since you don't use it a lot, right? I mean, you're in and out of rooms, but you're not messing up rooms. So
exactly.
It stays pretty clean except for dusting and vacuuming. You know, it's not that bad, really. But my office, though, I have been in there doing some reorganizing, and I need another bookshelf in there, too, to put some things on, but I haven't found the right one just yet, but I'll get to it when I can.
Well, I need another bookshelf right by the front door. I need a bathroom cupboard, a freestanding cupboard, to be able to put everything away that's in there. I got two boxes in there, and I'm still trying to put the house together, so I don't worry about if it's not spick and span and everything in its place at this point, except for the kitchen. I don't like my kitchen dirty. It's not big enough to not have the dishes done or to leave stuff on the counter. I can't do that. So
I'll
make sure that's all clean. I mean, grab the dish rag and you wipe off the counters. What is so hard about that, you know? I had it.
Right.
My sister, she's gone now. She committed suicide some years ago. But I think she was allergic to cleaning and doing dishes.
Really?
I really do. I'd go and stay with her, and I would have to do the dusting and the vacuuming before I could stand to stay in the house. Just drove me insane. But, you know, that's just how she was. She was that way as a kid, and Mama couldn't change it, and she didn't change it. And that's just how she was. So that was just part of going to visit, was helping her get the house a little bit better. And she wondered why she was sick all the time. Anyway, a dirty house is not what killed her, so that's okay. And it wasn't dirty, it was just always dusty, and the dishes weren't always done, you know, and the sweeping wasn't done, all that kind of stuff. So I'd sweep, and I'd mop, and I'd vacuum. And the glass shelves, I would dust those off because I just couldn't stand that. But she appreciated it, so I didn't really mind. I didn't really mind. It was okay. But I make sure mine doesn't get that way because I always think of Tracy.
I noticed that you're going to have some Cheryl music today.
Yes. Still to this day, and I haven't asked the question, but I haven't figured out why they called him Cheryl unless it was because of his voice, because his name was Sean. So, John, you haven't answered that one, honey? Yeah, his name was Sean. They called him Cheryl. His last name was Nielsen, Nielsen. And he died at the age of 68 from lung cancer.
Oh, no.
On December 10th of 2010. Mm. And he was a backup singer for Elvis from 1973 to 1977. And Elvis would call him out front to sing Hello, come on, brain, flip the switch, you know? He'd call him out to sing Aubrey, and he'd call him out to see Softly as I Need You.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he called him out several times. He was good. He was very good.
Yes. That man had the purest tenor. I mean, I have heard some Irish tenors, but not like Cheryl Nielsen's tenor. Oh, my Lord, that was something else. And today we are going to run through, and I've got some extras. When he, on this album called Memories of Elvis, we're going to play the songs from this album. And there are three of them that he and Elvis did together. And when it comes to one of them, I know that Cheryl sang the song. Elvis had a speaking part at the end. And, yes, I just got the message that Cheryl was called out if Elvis felt sick. You know, he was there for a lot of support, Just kind of, you know, give Elvis a rest. Even if it's only for 3 or 4 minutes, that was sometimes very necessary, you know, because he never, there was only a couple of times that he was just too sick to perform and had to call it off. He did it no matter what. And so it was very, very nice when JD and the guys would sing a song and give Elvis a break. Or Cheryl would come out and sing and give Elvis a break.
Yeah.
I think it was a very, very good thing to have those people behind him because they were more than willing to help him out. Whether he needed it or not, all he had to do was ask. And they would have done it. No problem. So anyway, I've got a scratchy throat today. Excuse me, people. We are going to start at the beginning of the album and go through it, and it starts out pretty good. First song he does is How Great Thou Art, and this is from the album Memories of Elvis.
I'd like to dedicate this album to all the fans who loved Elvis then and who love him now, and to his memory, which will live within all of us always. This is my story, and it's a positive statement about a man who was always doing positive things for others. I want the world to know about his warmth, his love, his generosity, his humanity, and about the happiness he brought to me and to so many through his music. When I first met Elvis, I was with the Imperials Quartet. We had an early morning television show in Memphis. Evidently, he had been watching the program because one morning we got a call from Elvis himself. He asked us to work with the Jordanaires and the Anita Kerr Singers on his gospel album. Naturally, we said yes. On May 25th, 1966, in RCA's Studio B in Nashville, we recorded How Great Thou Art. I'll never forget that night. I was standing over in the corner of the studio trying to fade into the wallpaper when the door swung open, and there he was, Elvis Presley. He was wearing this fantastic, wide-brimmed, jet-black Superfly hat straight from Beale Street in Memphis, and it was perfect for him. He walked right past all the music industry brass and came right up to me and said, "Hi, I'm Elvis Presley." And I'll always remember Elvis saying, "I have all your records, and you're one of my favorite singers." I couldn't believe that this man who had sold millions of copies of song after countless song was saying that to me, just a simple down-home gospel singer. Needless to say, that was the beginning of the greatest experience of my life. Consider all the world thy hands
have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. Thy power throughout the universe display. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
I got into listening. I forgot to unmute my mic. Well, you know, sometimes the brain is just not functioning proper. You know what I mean? So I'll make it somewhere. I just realized, where is my song number 20? Oh, Lordy. Well, something has to go wrong, right? And besides the computer. And you don't know the language. You don't want to know the language I used for that. Anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. It was not pretty. It was not ladylike. I'm glad nobody was here. Let's put it that way, because that it was not good. Nope. I don't do it very often, but man, it just hit me wrong today. Anyway, number two on the roster for Memories of Elvis is Impossible Dream. Now, that is a song, if I recall, that's a song that Elvis sang at Madison Square Garden in New York. So it was a biggie. So here you go, hon, Impossible Dream.
I left the Imperials and went to California and worked with the Songfellows on a local television station. One day a Cadillac pulled up and a man walked in and said, Elvis wants to know why you left the Imperials. He's upset. He thinks they fired you. That was only the second time I had contact with Elvis, and I just couldn't believe that he was that concerned about me. But I assured him that there was no problem with my leaving the Imperials. I just wanted to change my direction. I later left California, going on to Louisiana, and then to Wichita, Kansas, and finally ended up joining the Statesman Quartet. I didn't know it at the time, but Elvis had been a fan of theirs for years. We were singing in Long Beach one night, and Elvis came to see our show. Afterwards, he said he had one of my records with a song on it that he wanted me to do for him. So I sang The Impossible Dream, and when I finished, Elvis said, I just want to tell you how much I enjoyed you singing that song. And then he put a TCB necklace around my neck and hugged me. And for me, this was a mountain peak. That's one moment I have never gotten over and never will. I think he was touched by the song because he grew up in poverty, from a poor family in a poor area with nothing much but dreams. Yet he dared to dream of brighter days and better things. I feel sure that's why Elvis identified so strongly with the impossible dream.
To dream the impossible dream. To fight the unbeatable foe. To bear with unbearable sorrow. To run where the brave dare not go. To right the unrightable wrong. To be better far than you are. To try when your arms are too weary. To reach the unreachable star. Without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell or a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world will be better for this. That one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable star. And the world will be better for this. That one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the
I tell you, nobody in grade school ever sang it like that when it was popular.
Oh, no.
That, wow. No, it just didn't happen. I wish, right? Oh, well. In high school, we did have a couple of singers that were of that caliber, but they were females. The guys didn't have much interest back then. They were too busy being jocks and macho men. Just, you know, slap them with a 2x4, wake them up, whatever. That was about it, too. They try to pull their macho stuff on you, and you just look at them like, what's wrong with you? Did you leave your brain home in the fridge this morning? What are you up to, dude? Think what you're doing. I'd love to tell them, I got a baseball bat out here in my locker if you want to meet me in about 10 minutes and we'll take care of your problem. I don't know. I had this sore spot about jocks that thought they were better than anybody else. You know, I just wanted to take them down a notch, but I didn't. I really didn't. I was not confrontational. I just stayed away from them. Now it would have been a different story. But back then,
yeah.
I just disliked them and stayed away from them. That's all. So I never really had to deal with them. I didn't run in those circles. So I could kind of see it from afar and not really have to deal with it. And that's the road I took.
But when I think about it, I wish I'd had the guts to do something else. But I didn't. So that's how it goes. All right. I just remember that song being very, very popular when I was in school. And it started in grade school. So, yeah. I love this song. Okay. We've got something coming up that I did not realize was in Elvis realm. But it's beautiful. It's totally beautiful. It's the kind of song that you hope someday somebody sings to you. You know? Okay, number four on the list is Ever I Would Leave You.
I remember Elvis called us once to meet him in Las Vegas, and in fact, it was the first time we met Elvis in Vegas. Tom Jones was looking for a backup group, and Elvis wanted him to see and hear us. So Elvis asked us to sing for Tom Jones, and for some reason, Bobby Gentry was there. So here we were, standing around the piano, Bobby Joe Gentry, Tom Jones, and Elvis Presley. I thought to myself, no one will ever believe this. Well, Tom Jones couldn't use us, so Elvis called us up to his suite and said, well, I've been thinking. I've drawn up this little agreement, and I just wanted to see if you fellows would be interested. I want you to travel with me, sing with me, write songs for me, and work for me. Would you boys be interested in this kind of contract? Of course, we turned white as a sheet and nearly fainted and said, yes, sir, we'd just love to. He called his father long distance after we'd all signed the contract. And I'll never forget, he said, well, Dad, I finally got my own group. When he wrote out our first check, he wrote on the back of it a statement that to me is the highest compliment I've ever received. He wrote, God loves you, but he loves you best when you sing. After he gave us the check, he said, now let's go in and sing. And on that day, one of the songs that he asked me to do over and over was If Ever I Would Leave You.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never would go. Your hair streaked with sunlight, your lips red as flame, your face with a luster that puts gold to shame. But if I'd ever leave, how could it be in autumn? Just how I'd leave in autumn, I never will know. I've seen how you sparkle when fall nips the air. I'd know you in autumn, and I must be there. Would I leave you merrily, merrily through the snow, or on a wintry evening when you catch the fire's glow? If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in springtime. Just knowing how in springtime I'm bewitched by you so.
gosh.
I know.
Powerhouse. That dude had a set of lungs. Oh, man.
He was good. Very good.
You know, God didn't Very hand good. Out lungs like that just to anybody.
No.
Oh, but he got a pair. Elvis got a pair. There are a couple ladies that got a pair, too. I mean, my goodness. Lungs, that is.
Yeah, listen, refresh my memory. What was the song? Was it Oh So Me that he called him out to sing at one time? Was that the name of it? But the American, the...
Yeah, Cheryl did the Italian version called Oh Solo Mio.
Right.
Yeah.
And what was the name? What's the American name of the song? I can't remember.
Well, I gave you the first tune, honey. Keep going with it. Can do you got it? Tomorrow will be too late. It's now or never.
Oh, okay. Registered. I got my cash register registering here.
There you go. Okay. I didn't think I'd have to sing that much of it, but that's okay. At least I knew it.
Well, I knew it.
That's the thing, you know. A couple of years ago, it would have been, I don't know. Look it up.
Yeah, too. That's when E said something about why is your outfit better than mine or prettier than mine or whatever, because he had on that beautiful colored outfit that he had on with no shirt under it.
Oh, yes. And what comes to mind is that the blue one. Purdy.
Yeah.
The suit was purdy, and what was in it was purdy, too.
Yeah, he was an attractive man.
Oh, yeah, and he was tall. Oh, my gosh. He was like they started the Statue of Liberty, you know, and just kind of quit.
Well, I tell you what, he fit in very well. He really did. He did it was a compliment to Elvis, you know.
Yes. And that's the whole thing is I don't think he ever did better than Elvis, but they definitely complimented each other.
Oh, definitely.
There was no question of that. No question of that. Okay, next song is called Walk With Me.
When I left gospel music and the Statesman Quartet, I went to Nashville and formed my own group. Tim Beatty, Donnie Sumner, and I rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed, so we'd be ready for sure if we ever did find a place to sing. Seemed like we rehearsed all the time. Finally, we landed a gig filling in for the four guys. They were on tour and needed a group to do backup on the Grand Ole Opry. One day, I got a call from none other than Elvis Presley. He said, "What are you boys doing?" "Oh, we're just singing a little whenever somebody will listen." Then Elvis, in his usual fashion, said, "How soon can you be in Las Vegas?" And I said, "How soon do you want us there?" "Well, I'll send a plane for you right now. Will that give you time to pack?" "Yes, we ought to be able to do it." So sure enough, a plane comes, and we get on, fly to Vegas, and waiting to pick us up at the airport is a mink-lined limousine with an English chauffeur. On the way to the Hilton to meet with Elvis in a limousine, about all this Alabama boy could think of was, "My, my, my, this is amazing." We were at the Hilton about a day when Elvis calls and says, "I've got a piano set up, so come on up and let's sing." We went up to his special suite and talked a while, and then he asked us to sing one of his favorites, "Walk With Me."
Walk with me, walk with me, lest mine eyes no longer see all the glory, all the story. of your love. Talk to me, talk to me, like you spoke so tenderly when you walked there, when you talked there by the sea. Let me fall in the footsteps that trod the shore. Take my hand, teach me, Lord, to understand all the beauty of your love. Let me fall. Take my hand, teach me, Lord, to understand all the beauty of your love.
Nice one. Nice one. He's got such a voice, and it's so clear and pure. You know, it's fantastic. Yes, and these are all songs off of the album called Memories of Elvis. Remember that? Just listen to the beginning of every song. He says, he tells you some memory of when he was with Elvis. So, awesome, awesome. Now, here's another one. He says that this was one of Elvis' favorite songs, one of Elvis' favorite songs, Killing Me Softly. I learned it from Roberta Flack, but boy, Cheryl does a bang-up job. Here you go.
During my first years with Elvis, I lived and traveled with him wherever he wanted to go, and he was likely to go anyplace on very short notice. I remember one night in Palm Springs, we were sitting around joking and laughing, talking about what we would do to improve our appearance. Off the cuff and without any forethought, I mentioned that someday I planned to have a small gap in my teeth fixed. Elvis laughed and jokingly said, "It sure is nice to be perfect." A little later in the evening, he slipped off and secretly arranged for a plane to go to Los Angeles for Dr. Max Shapiro, who was attending a coming-out party for Frank Sinatra. Late that night, I heard a knock at the door, and there stood Dr. Max in his tuxedo with his tie hanging down, with his little bag, saying, "I'm here to work on your teeth, boy." He started putting temporary caps on my teeth that very night. But before Dr. Max started on my teeth, Elvis told him he wanted me to sing a song. So Elvis asked me to sing Killing Me Softly, which was one of his favorites, and one we used many times to open his show in Las Vegas. For some reason, the song seemed very appropriate for the occasion.
Strumming my pain with her fingers, singing my life with her words, killing me softly with her song, killing me softly with her song, telling my whole life with her words, killing me softly with her song. I heard she sang a good song, I heard she had a style, and so I came to see her, to listen for a while. And there she was, this young girl, a stranger to my eyes, drumming my pain with her fingers, singing my life with her words, killing me softly with her song, killing me softly with her song, telling my whole life with her words, killing me softly.
I've never heard it done quite like that. But that's okay. That's okay. Given a choice between the original and Cheryl Nielsen, I pick Cheryl Nielsen. You know what I mean? It just is. That's it. Okay, now I'm glad you agree, darling. Yes, sir. The next song, I'm going to kind of deviate just a little bit because he does do this song as a solo on this album, but we also have the duet where Elvis and he do this song together. And I think that's the one I want to play because that one is much more emotional. And it's get out the Kleenexes, Anne. That's all I can tell you. You're going to need them. You're just going to need them.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, huh? Oh, before I do that, though, I have something I do want to say. I want to say hi to Cookie. She is listening to us as she is lying in the hospital. She has double pneumonia. And she's in the hospital down in Osceola, Florida. So I wanted to make sure and acknowledge that she is listening. And you need to get well, girl. You need to stop laying around in the hospital being lazy. I'm just teasing. It's a good way to get time off, but being sick is not fun. So don't do it that way. So anyway, now that I've done that and hopefully made her laugh and now she's on oxygen again, I'm sorry, honey, but
you know, that's just how I roll. You're going to be fine. Laughing is healing. So as long as you can breathe. Poor woman.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, really. I probably made her laugh and put her back on the oxygen. Okay, well.
You probably did. You probably
I
did.
I probably did.
Get well, Cookie. I talked to you earlier today, and I'm looking forward to that phone call when you get well.
And, yeah, she'll be able to breathe in another couple of minutes, so it's all right. All right, the song that I am talking about, deviating from Cheryl's solo to what he and Elvis used to do on stage. They did this song quite often on stage. And it makes me cry every time. So are you ready? Because it's coming at
ready.
You. Softly
ready, Katie, let's
as
go.
I leave you. Softly
oh,
as I
yeah.
leave you. Oh, yeah.
Now, this next song, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do is a song we've been doing a lot here, and it's a true story, and I'd like to share the story with you. The song has been around for a long time, but there's a story behind it, and I'd like to share it with you. It's a story of a man who is in a hospital, and he's dying. And his wife has been sitting by his bedside for 3 days and three nights. Somewhere in the third day, between midnight and day, she lay down beside him and dozed off to sleep. Well, he felt her when she dozed off to sleep. And at the same time, he felt himself start to die. So he didn't want her to see him pass away. So he took his notepad from the side of the bed. And he wrote,
Softly,
I will leave you.
Softly,
for my heart would break.
For my heart would break.
If you should wake.
And see me go.
So I leave you. Softly. Long before you miss me. Long before your arms can beg me stay.
Long before your arms can beg me stay.
For one more hour.
One more day.
After all the years, I can't bear the tears to fall.
So softly, I will leave there.
Of what it would feel like if it was someone I loved lying there dying. And I just bawl like a baby. It's awful. But it's such a beautiful song, I can't help but listen to it.
I know. It's pretty sad.
I think we just like to cry sometimes. But that's a good way to do it, with a song like that, instead of with something actually happening, you know? And I've changed my mind now, and instead of going on, I am going to play Cheryl doing his solo version of that song, because
he has a memory to tell us about at the beginning, and I don't want you to miss that. So let's give a listen to that.
We were in the dressing room at the Las Vegas Hilton the first time Elvis mentioned the song, Softly As I Leave You. He recited it for us and told us the story. It really touched him. Then he asked me if I knew the song. When I said I did, he asked me to sit down at the piano and sing it. As I sang, he recited the words very softly in the background. His dad was deeply touched by the combination. I remember Vernon told Elvis that it was beautiful and we ought to put the song in the show. Now, the show was scheduled to begin in about 2 hours, so Elvis sent for Glenn D. Hardin to work out the arrangement right there. And that night, we did Softly As I Leave You for the first time on stage, and it received unbelievable response. I remember they had one spotlight on Elvis at center stage and one on me over at the side, and it really did stop the show. After that, we did it many times together, and as far as I know, it's the only time Elvis ever talked on record with someone else singing. I often do the song in my show as a tribute to Elvis. I do it to say thank you. Thank you to a man who took a small-town gospel singer who had never seen much, who had never known much success, and showed him a whole new world. He taught me to have confidence in myself by showing that he had confidence in me. Each time I do this song, it's my way of saying thank you, Elvis. Thank you. EP, I know you're gone, but you'll always live in my heart. And I know you're listening somewhere. And that's why for the rest of my life, I'll dedicate all my songs to you. And even though you're not here to do your part, I'm singing this one just for you.
Softly, I will leave you softly, for my heart would break if you should wake and see me go. So I leave you softly, long before you miss me. Long before your arms can beg me stay for one more hour, one more day. After all the years, I can't bear the softly, I will leave you there. I will leave you there.
How does he keep from crying when he sings that? Man.
I don't know, but you know, I don't cry with songs much, but this one got to me.
Yes, yes. And
very touching. Yeah.
And it and at the beginning when he said, I know you're listening somewhere, I just want to say, yep, yep, he is, right here, he's listening.
Yeah.
But Cheryl's not here to be able to hear that, so it wouldn't have done any good. It's okay. But, yeah, it brings tears to the eyes. It really does. That is a very special song. And two guys that really knew how to do it. Really, really knew how to do it. Okay, I have another song just simply because this is where it falls on the album that I have the version that Cheryl did that I want to play because he states his memory before it. And then there's the one they did on stage together. So here is Cheryl doing Blue Spanish Eyes.
Elvis caught me by complete surprise the first time he called me out on stage to do Blue Spanish Eyes. One minute I was humming in the background, then all of a sudden Elvis turns around and says, "Hey, come on out here and sing with me." I looked around thinking surely he meant somebody else, but he was looking straight at me. So I tried to control the weakness in my knees and went on out and sang Blue Spanish Eyes with him. We did the song together a lot after that night, and we always had fun with it. It's an incredible experience going from humming back up on the Grand Ole Opry to center stage singing with the greatest entertainer in the world. Blue Spanish eyes, teardrops are falling from your Spanish eyes. Please don't cry. This is just adios and not goodbye.
Like that one. You can't add anything to it. It's just short and sweet and right there. Love it. Okay, here is the stage version with Elvis. Blue Spanish Eyes.
Sure you want to do a song with me? Okay.
Spanish eyes, teardrops are falling from your Spanish eyes. Please don't cry. This is just adios and not goodbye. Soon I'll return. Before I go,
very much.
I love that ending. Dun, dun, dun. You can't mm-hmm. you can't beat that. That's just perfect. That's perfect. Okay. There is, I'm not doing it right at this minute, but there is one more song that there are two versions of. One is Cheryl doing it on this album. And the other one is stage version with Elvis talking at the end of it. And yeah, I'm going to play both of them just because I can't help myself. I'm sorry. It's like an addiction. And you guys should know that more than anybody. This is like an addiction. You got to play it. You got to play it. But before that, I'm going to play a song that Elvis had a special request for Cheryl to play this for Linda, or sing this for Linda. And I love this song. This is fantastic, fantastic. So here is I Love You So Much.
I remember once in Las Vegas, relaxing in the casino, just watching the people, I got a phone call. A voice said, Elvis wants to see you upstairs. So naturally, I got on the elevator and went up to his room. When I got there, Elvis and Linda were waiting. He said, we were just sitting here, and I wanted Linda to hear you sing a song. Now here we were in the fanciest suite in the hotel, just Elvis, Linda, a few others, and myself. Elvis said, get me a guitar. And then he said, let's do I Love You So Much It Hurts Me. And while I sang, Elvis recited along with me. I think this song was one of his favorite romantic mood songs, and he loved to recite it. I believe that had he lived longer, we would have recorded this one together. I love you so much, it hurts me. Darling, that's why I'm so blue. I'm so afraid to go to bed at night. I'm afraid of losing you. I love you so. Nothing I can do. I wanna hold you, my dear.
AIDS of the 1940s?
I
sure do when I hear that song. It's the love songs of the 1940s. That's what that reminds me of. And his tenor, you know, all he needs is a megaphone.
Very impressive.
I love that song. I don't remember ever hearing that song before this. This is like the second time I've heard it. And
I'm not.
Wow. I love this song. I love this song so much.
Well,
oh, Jenny, he cornball.
Did an awesome job doing this for Elvis, and I commend him. It's very, very wonderful album. Beautiful.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And he put the memories before the song, you know, something that goes with the song. I love that. I really love that,
right?
Because those are things that if he hadn't done that, we would never know those memories. We would never know those things happened. So I am very, very glad he felt the need to do this. This is awesome. You stupid thing. I keep telling you, go away and leave me alone. This thing keeps popping up. It wants me to install this antivirus. Yeah, like I'm going to do it because you told me. I don't think so. We're not going that direction. So anyway, all right. The next song I'm going to do, I think instead of playing these back to back, I'm going to play the one off the album now, and then I will play the other version when I have time a little bit later. Because we've got quite a few songs to get to, and I want to get through them. So if I have time, I will play the version that John gave me to want to play. And I might not wait till the end of the show, okay? But just I'm not going to do these back-to-back like this. But anyway, here is Cheryl's version of Aubrey.
As I look back on those times together, I am deeply touched and filled with a great sense of inspiration that in his quieter moments, his reflective times, Elvis often asked me to sing for him. And he loved all kinds of music. He loved the kind of music that expressed deep feelings, music that moved him emotionally. His great variety of songs always amazed me. Here are three songs I did for him personally many times, and I think these songs clearly show his wide range of musical taste. Aubrey, a pop song, For Once in My Life, from Broadway, and Come Ye Disconsolate, a black gospel feel.
And Aubrey was a name, a not so very ordinary girl name. But who's to blame for a love that wouldn't bloom, for the heart that never played in tune, like a lovely melody that everyone can sing? Take away the words that rhyme, it doesn't mean a thing. And Aubrey was a name. We tripped the night and danced together to the moon. But where was No, it never came around. And if it did, it never made a sound. Maybe I was absent, I was listening to facts, catching all the words, but then the meaning going past. And how I'd go 1,000 times around the world just to be closer to her than to me. And Aubrey was I never knew her, but I loved her just the same. I loved her name. Wish that I had found a way and the reasons that would make her stay. I have learned to lead a life apart from all the rest. If I can't have the one I want, I'll do without the rest. And God, I'm a girl, and I'd go a million times around the world just to say she had been mine.
That is so wonderful. And the one line out of that song that grabs me is, if I can't have the one I want, I'll do without the rest. I like that. I really like that. Okay, and he said he had three songs that he's got in here now that don't have introductions. That's what I'm looking for. And we've got two more to go. This one is For Once in My Life.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once I'm afraid, I can go where life leads me. Somehow I know I'll be strong. For once I can touch what my long before I knew someone more like you would make my dreams come true. For once in my life, I won't let sorrow hurt me, not like it's hurt me before. For once I have someone I know won't desert me. I'm not alone anymore.
Show tune originally, you know, either a Broadway show or a musical, something like that, because I can hear on those variety shows of the 60s, I can hear Sammy Davis Jr. singing that. I remember him singing that, and I can hear Ethel Merman singing that, and if I heard her singing it, it was on a movie, but oh
right.
My gosh.
Well, that's the fastest.
Wow.
Song. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And remember, these three songs are songs that Elvis used to ask him to sing a lot. So Elvis didn't
do them, but he asked Cheryl to sing them for him because he loved them. So the third
right.
one in that lineup is Come Ye Disconsolate. Now, do you guys know what disconsolate means? No? Okay. What it means is inconsolable, unable to make someone feel better. That's what disconsolate is. So this song is Come Ye Disconsolate. And I don't know that song. I have no idea where that song came from. I do not remember ever hearing it before, but I like it. That's always a surprise somehow, but it's a great surprise. All right, what I'm going to do for you now is what I promised to do later, is Elvis and Cheryl doing Aubrey. And John sent this about 10 minutes before showtime, and I thought, you know what? Why not? So I switched computers real fast because I didn't have the library in the new computer, and I didn't have the converter in the new computer yet. I got to get on the ball and get that ready to roll, but it'll be a while before I have an extensive library there because I'm not transferring. But anyway, here is Aubrey by Elvis and Cheryl.
Okay, listen to Cheryl do one more, and then we'll go on what we're doing, okay? I want to do a song called Aubrey. This was got by a group called Bread. But they ain't ever sung it like this, Cat Hammers.
And Aubrey was a name, a not so very ordinary girl. But who's to blame for a love that wouldn't bloom for the hearts that never played in tune? Like a lovely melody that everyone can see, take away the words that rhyme, it doesn't mean a thing. And Aubrey was a name we tripped the night and danced together to the moon. But where's June? No, it never came around. And if it did, it never made a sound. Maybe I was absent, I was listening too fast, catching all the words within, the meaning going past. And how I missed the girl, and I'd go a thousand miles around the world just to be closer to her than to me.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, fellas. You're fantastic. And Pete, thank you. It was beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to share with you some of the talent that we have up on the stage here. And, if you dig it, we'll share different things with you, and I'll sing some more songs. And this is our last show. We don't care.
Yeah, it's our last show. We don't care. I love it. But that is something he did. He made sure that everyone got recognition. And that was really special. because there were so many entertainers that did not do that. Man, if you were a backup, you stayed backup. You know, that was just it. They were the important ones, and you better just stay in your place. But Elvis never did that. He never did that. The talent got their chance to shine, and that was his beautiful heart. I loved it. I still love it. I love it. Okay, here you go, Sue. Cheryl Nielsen, it's now or never.
Okay.
One night, just sitting around, singing in the den at Graceland, Elvis asked us if we knew what his best-selling record was. Well, we guessed everything from Hound Dog to Don't Be Cruel to Heartbreak Hotel. And he said, no, it was an old Italian song I learned to sing when my mother used to play it for me on the wind-up Victrola, and it was sung by a tenor named Enrico Caruso. When he mentioned it was an old Italian street song, I said, you mean this one? And I sang a few bars of Old Solo Mio. Well, when he found out I knew it, he had me sing it most of that night. It was always true that when Elvis found a song he liked, he wanted to hear it over and over and over and over. During the next concert, without any advance notice, he walked over to me and right there on stage in front of all the fans, he said, I want you to do the Italian version of It's Now or Never. Then he turned to the fans and said, listen to his voice, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, I sang it. I heard him once tell about the time he first told RCA he wanted to record an American version of the Italian street song. He said they thought I was crazy, but as usual, he was right. It's Now or Never was his biggest selling single at that time. And the version recorded on RCA's Elvis in Concert album, where I sing the Italian part, is without a doubt one of the highlights of my career with Elvis.
Mamma fa sole, che belle ombre, oh sole mio, sta in fronte in te. Oh sole mio, sta in fronte in te, sta in saw you with your smile so tender, my heart was captured, my soul surrendered. I've spent a lifetime waiting for the right time. Now that you're near, the time is here at last. It's now or never. Kiss me, my darling, be mine tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. It's now or never, my love won't wait. Just like a willow, we would cry an ocean if we lost true love and sweet devotion. Your lips excite me, let your arms invite me, for who knows when we'll meet again this way. It's now or never, come home in time. Now or never, my love won't wait.
here's that ending again. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't help it. I can't help it. When it's that definite, you know, you just got to go with it. So, okay, that's all right. Next song is a Cheryl Nielsen version of Love Song of the Year.
To me, Elvis was one of the warmest and most caring people I've ever known. He always made sure that everybody connected with him was secure, and he wanted all of us to know that he was looking out for us. On stage, Elvis wanted his musicians to be appreciated and recognized. On record, he always wanted them heard. I remember one time Felton hired a studio for a full day just to overdub my part on one of the records because, as Elvis put it, I wasn't out front enough. He had a great respect for all of his musicians and their talents. I guess that was one reason he carried such a large road show. He loved musicians. He loved talent. When you worked with Elvis, you always gave your best for him because he always gave his best for you. He carried that attitude into the recording studio. He wanted to make sure it was not just a job for all of us, but enjoyable and fun. It was sort of like an all-day singing and dinner on the ground. We'd go in around 8 in the evening and finish sometimes at 7 or so the next morning, but everyone had a good time and nobody complained. I guess these were some of his happiest times, those hours spent in the recording studio with musicians and friends he loved and respected. All of these things, to me, add up to one very important point. Elvis was a deeply devoted and loyal friend, and that is how I will always remember him. Like all of us, there were times when he was lonely, and often in those times he wanted us with him. We'd go to Graceland and sing, sometimes all night long. Here's a few of his favorites, some we used to do together in those late night hours at Graceland.
I used to laugh when I should have cried. I used to let these feelings pass me by. But now that I believe them, I've got no one to leave them to me. You see, I traded love for what I thought was being free. So I confess my loneliness, and I guess I lost the best of the years that I let love slip through my fingers like a golden breath of air. If I could, I wouldn't be singing this love song of the year. I know the time cannot erase days. Love is past and you've gone away. From now on, I'll make it very clear, 'cause I don't want to write another love song of the year. It's a whisper song and not too clear, but to me, it's very dear. I guess this song can only be my feelings deep down in the sea of love. To me, this has got to be the love song of the year. I know the time cannot erase the day. Very clear, 'cause I don't want to write another love song of the year. I used to laugh when I should have cried. I used to let these feelings pass me by. From now on, I'll make it very clear,
'cause I don't wanna write another love song of the
album.
Yes, but he doesn't want to do another love song of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, then don't. Okay, next one on the album called Memories of Elvis, Mr. Songman.
Behind your walls of glass, you keep staring back at me like a memory from the past. Won't you sing me away to a summer night? Let me hold her in my arms again. I know memory is not reliving, but at least it's not the end. Here's another.
Donna, did you want to call in to say what you needed to say, or are you okay just putting it here on the chat? Let me read her messages for you, kids, because she might not have time to call in. She is saying that tomorrow night, which is Friday, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, is E's show. So you're going to have to dial in to find out what that entails. Elvis, Memories of Christmas, and His Spirituality. Now, that's going to be a good one, guys. That's going to be a really good one. So you really want to kind of dial in, whether it's just listening on Blog Talk, click the link, go to it, listen to it, or calling in and being a part of the crowd, whatever. But you don't want to miss it. You really don't want to miss it, okay? So does that kind of get it out there for you, Shauna? Yes, it's on the TCB network. And she says TCB, guys. So TCB. Okay. Okay. I got it. I had to do a little planning there real quick. Here's the next song on the agenda.
Number 15
is Let Me Be the One.
Let me be the one you come to when you need someone to run to. When you sigh, I'll try to undo everything the world has done to you. And let me be the one you call on when your good time friends are all gone. When you need someone to fall on, let me be the one. Right now you long to roam. All I can say is, girl, be gone. Nothing you don't want me to. But should you awake some morning, find yourself alone and longing, reach out for that telephone and let me be the one. Why don't you let me be the one you come to when you need someone to run to. When you sigh, I'll try to undo everything the world has done to you. And let me be the one you call on when your good time friends are all gone. When you need someone to fall on, won't you let me be the one. The world's right there at your reach. You want it all and not just me. So you're oats, but keep in mind, I'll be here come a harvest time. Standing at the end of your wild road, with a heart full of love and a welcome home. You'll never have to be alone if you let me be the one. Why don't you let me be the one you come to when you need someone to run to. When you sigh, try to undo everything the world has done to you. And let me be the one you call on when your good time friends are all gone. When you need someone to fall on, won't you let me be the one.
I know he's good. I've heard him. I expect him to be good, but sometimes he still surprises me, you know? Sometimes. Wow. All righty. How about this one? Bringing It Back.
If I could never see you, if I could never hold you, if I could never touch your face or feel your warm embrace, I'd still remember talking, I'd still remember laughing, I'd still remember loving a lot, just touching you. Girl, I've not forgot, 'cause everything's bringing it back. You know it's just bringing it back. A familiar place, a familiar face just brings it all back. Bringing it back, and even after so much.
much time in you. Everything's bringing it back. Thinking in my solitude, wondering about your attitude, thinking maybe that your love has died. There it is, I can see it in your eyes, and your look of sweet surrender, with a touch of too much sadness, cause I hurt you so, you know your sorrow shows, and you just can't stay, oh, but you can't let go, cause everything's bringing it back. No, it's just bringing it back. A familiar place, a familiar face just brings it all back. And everything's bringing it back. A good song's bringing it back. Even after so much time, you know, everything's bringing it back. Everything's bringing it back.
Hey, okay. Guys, I am going to play a song as we go out, but right now, it's time to say thank you for joining me. This was a special show. And it was great because Cheryl Nielsen was a great tenor. He was fantastic. Elvis recognized that and kept him around. And he just added so much to what Elvis did on stage. You wouldn't think that would be possible. But, yeah, Cheryl did. He did. And he helped Elvis to take a break now and then by singing a song. And I think that was absolutely fantastic that he could do that. And that says something for Elvis, being generous enough to share that limelight. And he didn't think anything about it. He wanted those people to be recognized for their talent, and he made sure it happened. Anyway, thank you for joining me. And for experiencing Cheryl Nielsen, who was the tenor backup for Elvis from 1973 to 1977. We lost him December 10th of 2010 to lung cancer. So he's not with us anymore, but we have some music. That's something. So guys, join me on Saturday because I have probably six songs that I didn't get to play today. I ran out of time, and I am going to play them at the beginning of Saturday's show. So join me on Saturday, and you can hear the rest of the memories of Elvis. And you guys in the chat, thank you so much for being here through all of it. As usual, you made it interesting, and you kept it going. And thank you, Sue, for sitting in just in case I had to bug out.
You're welcome.
You're never going to get out of that one, honey. You did such a good job.
Yeah.
But thank you for hanging out with me on this. And thank you, Victoria, for sitting there through the whole thing and listening with us. That is really, really special. I appreciate
Great.
Oh,
great.
Yeah, good, good. I appreciate you guys, each and every one of you. And join me on Saturday because you're going to want to finish the Cheryl Nielsen album. Until then, how about Funny How Time Slips Away? And this is Elvis, I think. I'm not sure anymore, but here you are.
I'd like to turn the house lights up, ladies and gentlemen, because now that you've seen me, I'd like to take a look at you, okay? Beautiful. Thank you. Just leave them up for a minute, man. You know, it's funny because I can't see you really. I can only see like the first row here. There's a lot of folks out there, boy. And up there too, there's a lot of folks. Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Well, I'm sweating a little bit, baby, but well, I guess I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, and it seems like it was only yesterday. Ain't it funny? A time slips away. I sure knew love. I hope that he's doing fine. I heard you told him that you'd love him till the end of time. Well, that's the same thing that you told me, seemed like just the other day. Yeah, ain't it funny how time slips away. I gotta go now. Guess I'll see you hanging around. Let her have it. Let her have it now. Don't know when though. Never know when I'll be back in town. But I remember what I told you, and it's time. Yeah, ain't it funny how time slips away. Yeah, ain't it funny. It's right on. It's right on. Oh. Although you really can't see back there, this is an owl. Wait. Thank you. You're a beautiful audience. Thank you. Really.